In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today the Lord says to all of us, I am the way. And when he speaks in this exclusive term, this means there is no other way but him. And if we understand that there is only one way, then we have to wonder why many people, they embrace different styles in life. They make different choices, and everyone has his own way, while everyone claims that we are heading towards the same place. It cannot happen this way. There should be only one way. This is the Lord Christ. His way, how he taught us to live. Otherwise, we might be deceiving ourselves. So in order for me to check myself, to know, am I heading on the right way? Am I following him to where he promised me to be with him? Maybe sometimes we find it difficulty to look at the scripture and examine ourselves. But maybe it's going to be easier if I look around or I look to the history and see those people who are on the way, how they looked like, how did they behave, how did they conduct themselves. There is something in common because all of those people were heading in the same direction to the same destination. If I find that I am not like them, maybe it's a call for me today to check myself. Maybe something needs to change in my life. Three main criteria that we are going to speak about today, about those who are on the way. The first one is they accept to die with him. We all know this theological meaning and concept. In order for us to rise with Christ, we have to die with him. But how can we do this? The Lord said from the beginning, it's a difficult road that has a narrow gate. And on the gate, there is a sign, if you want to follow me, carry your cross. Meaning, be willing to die. One time, I saw a video on YouTube about this something, I think they made it up, but actually it was very meaningful. A pastor and his wife was traveling in their car, and then one person stopped them, and he jumped into the car, and he asked the pastor to stop his car with a gun in his head. He took him out from the car, and he said to him, I am stopping you here because of your God. You say that he died for you, and you tell everyone that this is the way to be with him, to die with him. He said to him, I will count to 10, and you tell me if you are ready to die with him or not. And then he kept counting while the pastor terrified and his wife screaming. At the end of the count, he asked him, are you willing to die for him? He said to him, no, I am not. So this person who stopped the pastor said to him, I hoped that you will tell me that you want to die. I'm not going to kill you, but actually you are the one who killed me. All what you taught, all of your preaching, now I know that it was just vanity. You didn't mean it. Accordingly, I cannot believe or follow you. Sometimes we understand that we have to die with Christ, but our lifestyle is far from this fact. St. Paul says to the Colossians, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Already when you accepted him, you died already and your life is hidden with Christ in God. St. Paul even go further in his epistle to the Galatians and say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now the meaning is getting closer. If I die with him, this means that I do not exist anymore. It is Christ living in me. My members, my body members are not mine, they are his. Everything I do, it is what he wants me to do, not my own agenda. Actually, the church from the first day teaches us that this is the vow that the mother takes on behalf of her children. She accepts for them to be buried with Christ in the water, as if saying, I agree that in order for my son or my daughter to live forever, I agree that they will die with Christ today. When they are in the water, as if she is accepting that she will bury their children with Christ, in order for them, when they come out, they no longer live for themselves. How can we say that we die with Christ, or we are willing to die with Christ, if we are not even willing to talk with Him? If I find difficulty just speaking with Him in the day, how can I say I am ready to die for Him? How can we say that I am willing to die with Him, or I accept for my family to be joined in Him in this life that He lives in us, while I still pamper my children when it comes to the command of God? I have my own agenda, and the life of Christ is about convenience, about what is comfortable for me. I'm going to follow as much as it doesn't bother me or my kids. I will follow the commandment as much as I feel like it is something good. Sometimes children come to their parents and say, "Daddy or Mommy, I don't want to go to the church because it's boring." And then, instead of asking the children, "What do you mean by this? Do you know why we are there? What we are after? What we are going to gain from being there?" Sometimes we tell them, "Yeah, I think I agree with you. I will go and talk with Abuna. Maybe they have some kind of entertainment to be added to the liturgy to make things better." How is the concept of dying with Christ applies when we think this way? This is an everyday struggle. It's a decision that we make. Today, I do not live. It is Him live in me, living in me. That's why King David says about blessed are the undefiled in the way. Those who are choosing to die every single day, they will keep themselves undefiled along the path to salvation. So the first criteria for those people who are walking on the way truly, that they accept to die with Christ. The second criteria, that they are sinners, all of them, but they are not wicked. What is the difference between a sinner and a wicked person? A sinner can be taken in his weakness. All of us can relate to this. How many times we said we are not going to do this, and we found ourselves falling into this kind of weakness. A wicked is different. A wicked person will sin deliberately, with a plan, with a determination. Knowing that this is wrong, I will still head for it. There is a difference between taking into some kind of lustful thoughts, or being taken with an image, or to have a relationship that's against God. I meet with this person, I commit with this person a sin against God. Here, this is not sinning. This is a bland sin. It's different. Yes, everything is subject to change, but I have to understand that by doing this, I am actually walking against the way. I am walking in the opposite direction. St. Paul warns the Hebrews when he says to them, "For if we sin willfully," and I want you to underline this word, "willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Sinners may offer repentance. The wicked drink iniquities like water. People who are sinners, they're still troubled when they do something against the goodness of God. The wicked people do not feel anything. Actually, they might justify it, defend it, and say that what is a big deal about that? Why the church is so strict? Why they are telling us this and this and this and this? Why we cannot just enjoy our lives? God is merciful. He loves me. I love Him. I'll go to heaven. This superficial and naive way, looking at God and His ways, it is serious. Something we have to understand. God offered His blood in order for us not to live for ourselves anymore. Sinners feel the shame of sin. The wicked rejoice with those who practice lawlessness. A sinner, yes, can be taken in his sin, but he feels this kind of rebuke. I cannot reconcile with this. I cannot live with it. It is very troubling for me. A wicked not only will do it, but will rejoice with those people who do it. when I find somebody is doing the same thing, I congratulate him or her for breaking the command of God. What's the big deal? Let us have fun. Sinners may fall and rise again. The wicked abide in their iniquities. You find maybe this curve in the life of the people who are on the way. They walk, maybe they fall, and they walk again, and they fall again. It happens. The wicked, actually, they fall, and with no remedy, they stay where they are. That's why God still helps those sinners when He says in the Psalm, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. Where He teaches them in the way. They are already on the way. There is nothing surprising when we say, I can be on the way while I am maybe sinning because of my weakness. Heading the other direction takes me away from the way at all. The third criteria for those people who are on the way, they walk the way to the end. To the end. What is the value of walking for a certain time? Or getting motivated to follow others for a short period and then I stop. King David prays to God saying to him, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Teach me and I shall keep it to the end. This is the thing that's going to tell if I'm going to really enjoy seeing and meeting him at the end or not, that I continue to the end. What does it take to finish the race? Three things. First one, trusting the leader. Secondly, to be focused. Thirdly, to have self-discipline. Trusting the leader, to be focused. Thirdly, to be disciplined. What do I mean by trusting the leader? Do I believe that God's way truly works? So I walk with Him, trusting that He is leading me to the way, to the life everlasting. Sometimes we trust that God's way is working when it comes to spirituality. Yes, Christ can lead me to eternity, but if I follow His command here, I will be a failure. Many, they are convinced that here there are certain different laws. I'll tell you a story, it's a funny one, about three people who had an interview in a certain company, and this company was known that they are crooked and they work things in a way that's not straight. The first person was a true Christian. So when he went to the interview, the man who was hiring asked him, can you tell me what is the sum of 2 and plus 2? The man was surprised, what kind of question is this in this company? But he said, without thinking, it's 4. He said to him, are you sure? He said to him, yes, I'm sure it's 4. He checked his hand, thank you very much, and he dismissed him. The second person was this kind of people who wants to be with everyone, whatever they want. So he asked him, do you know what is the sum of 2 plus 2? The man thought he has this politician mindset. He said, most of the answers, they fall between 3 and 5. So in order to be safe, maybe you have something in mind. The interviewer liked the answer and he told them, we have another person. We are going to check with him before we tell you if we are going to be hired or not. The third person was this person that's like the one who has his own agenda. He knows how to handle things according to the earthly ways. When the interviewer asked him, what is the sum of 2 plus 2? He said to him, what do you want it to be? This man is the one who got the job according to the story. But again, it tells us something. There are certain people who do not trust that if they would be honest, they walk the way according to what the leader says and dictates, we will go anywhere. This way is not going to get us anywhere. Let us be walking according to the laws of the people around us. Lacking trust in the leader was the main reason for the failure of the Israelites to enter the promised land. St. Paul says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They doubted their leader all the time. Are we here to die? This is something unbearable. I cannot walk. It's too much. I cannot follow. What happened? They all fell in the wilderness. It is this trust that comforts our hearts along the way. Today, the first verse that we heard in the gospel, "Let not your heart be troubled." We are troubled because we have double thoughts, double standards, and double way of thinking when we approach things. Should I do God's way, or I do my way, or I do the people's way? It is this trust that inspires us to look up and seek the guidance. If I trust Him, then my eyes are always on the leader. I ask Him, what should I do? Where should I go? Saint King David says, "Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." The psalm that we pray every day in the morning. I trust you. Let me know where should I go. I have no one else to ask or to get guidance from. The second point for us to be able to walk the way to the end is that we should be focused. Look at King Solomon at a certain time in his life. He lacked focus. That's why he said, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure." Maybe enjoying earthly pleasure will make me happy. He was distracted and he tried everything. He married 700 women and had 300 concubines. He had all of this food and banquets, a lot of distraction. That's why at the end he offered incense before idols. His self-serving goals were all wrong, and he despaired because he did not know what he wanted. King Solomon in this lifestyle was like many of us, who they think that they are after God, they are distracted by many things. I want this and this and this and this. I want to be rich and I want to be healthy and I want to be successful in relationships. I want also to be a follower of Christ. I do not know which one is the most important. I just wanted to pursue it all. I end up not gaining any. The third and the last requirement to finish the race is to be self-disciplined. I like this quote by this British author. He said, "A man without decision of character, he didn't make up his mind on what he should do to himself, can never be said to belong to himself. He belongs to whatever can make captive of him." If I am not decided on whom I am, what I am after, somebody else will decide on my behalf. He will take me captive. St. Peter gives us the way to self-discipline in three steps in one verse. The three steps is to gird your mind, gird your heart, and guard your heart, and guide your lifestyle. Gird your mind, control your thoughts, guard your hearts, the emotions that come in and out, guide your lifestyle. He says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Look at a judge like Samson. This man, he lost it all. He lost the leadership of Israel when he lost his leadership to himself. If I cannot lead myself, how can I lead others? If I cannot tell myself what to do, when to do it, then how can I say that I am on the way? Someone else maybe is putting a leash around my neck and taking me away from the way. This virtue can be acquired. Sometimes we believe there is no way. I cannot be a disciplined person. I never was like learned this. I will never change to become. If we have this mindset, it is done. Then there is nothing we can do. If I believe that this is the way, I need to be in control of myself, I can learn this virtue. This might be the subject of another sermon or a Bible study or so. Today the Lord says, "I am the way. There is no other way." Those who follow Him, they walk along the same footsteps like He did. In order for us to know if I am walking, I have to compare myself to those people who are walking along the way. Those people, they accept to die with Him. They walk, they are sinners, but they are not wicked. At the end, they continue walking with Him to the end, whatever it costs. May the Lord to give us always the wisdom to choose His way and to walk along the path to see him at the end. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.